now, look who it is. I'm so glad to see you again. Come here and let your dedicated Mayor Diana Belfair shake that hand of yours. You know, we have such a delightful little town in Sunken Harbor here, yet we don't get as many visitors as you might think. I sometimes wonder why that is. Oh, we're a little off the beaten path, I suppose, but we have everything you need for a perfect afternoon getaway. Pristine beaches, lovely views of the Long Island Sound, historic homes, and quaint shops and small businesses like this one we're standing in front of here. Yes, indeed, this is Cobra Kleinman's Karate Dojo and School of Self-Defense. Well, I know, what can I say? The man sure does like his leopard print. Anyway, you picked the best time of the year to visit us, strawberry season. And good times and magical memories are just ripe for the picking. Come with me, let's take a stroll.
Rabbi! Rabbi Berman, we have to be very careful here.
I heard you the first 5 times, Mr. Sheldon.
If we're seen
here... By whom? You said the owner of this property is deceased?
He is, but...
Does he have any living relatives?
No, I don't believe
Then let's press on.
But there could be someone else watching.
Who?
I don't know.
Well, I'm afraid that is a bit too vague for me. Now show me. Show me where it is.
It's anywhere on the ground where you can see reddish-gray earth. Yeah, that's it. That's the clay. But I wouldn't
this
touch
stuff?
It. Please, Rabbi Berman, don't disturb it any further. Put that back where you found it.
There's nothing moving here. It's just solid earth.
It's clay. It's clay, I tell you.
It has all the properties of clay.
And perhaps it's sleeping.
It's lifeless matter, Mr. Sheldon.
Please put the clay back.
Fine. My hand is a bit dirty now, but since you are such a chivalrous man, you won't mind if I use your handkerchief?
Of course. I don't see why not.
Thank you. You don't like to get your own hands dirty, I see.
Ah, you're referring to these.
Do you always sport those white cotton gloves?
Well, yes.
I must admit, it's a very elegant look. Matches the rest of your elegant look. Elegant, if a bit out of date. How many men wear nicely tailored suits like yours? Is that linen? So dapper, yet folksy. How many men wear nice suits, period, these days? Not very many. You look like you're running for mayor in Tuscaloosa in the 1940s or something. The bow tie is a nice touch.
Well,
It's a nice look, Mr. Sheldon. If a bit out of step with the times. I didn't mean to make you blush, Mr. Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think I've seen enough.
Derek? Derek, you there? Derek, you were startled a bit, weren't you? I think you dropped your cordless phone after you opened the fridge. Can you hear me? Okay, Derek. Pick it up. Things aren't as gloomy as they might seem, Derek. Pick it up. Let me explain.
I'm here.
Good. I was starting to feel concerned for a moment. Then the feeling passed.
Why is that in my fridge?
I offered you money. Lots of it. All sorts of grand material things. I tried the nice way.
But why is that in there?
Because I was left with no other alternative. Had to up my bid. A bit of friendly advice for you. Good communication is key. Always follow up with one's messages. Now, here's what's going to happen. A shipment of clay is going to arrive in about an hour. You're not going to leave this house until you complete the work I commission you to do. If you attempt to leave before you have finished the work, the police will arrive at your doorstep. They will have been given a lead that you are a suspect in a murder for which the evidence can be found inside your refrigerator and other places I've secreted around this house.
But I'm not a murderer.
I agree. a maker, a great giver of life. You must understand that by now. You even gave me life. But I can guarantee the sheriff and the rest of the authorities will see it quite differently.
Never in my life have I met someone who I would honestly say was evil, not until I met you, Simon.
I don't see it that way, Mr. Hobney. I suppose the worst thing one could say about me is that I'm terribly impatient, which is why we should get started as soon as possible.
But my daughter is in the hospital. She's all I got left, you see. I don't know if she's going to make it. She's expecting to see me today.
Excellent. It's good to have a sense of urgency. All the more reason why we need to get to work quickly. If you look in your mailbox, you'll find an unmarked manila envelope that contains four photographs. Four photographs of four different people to model four life-size sculptures. You know, I must confess something to you. And it's in testament to your great talent. I tried my amateur's hand at sculpting a life-size figure recently, and I was not at all pleased with the result. You weren't returning my calls or messages, so I figured, let me give this whole sculpting thing a try. But what I came up with was pretty crude. Effective in its own way, but very crude, and not at all practical for the more specific purposes I have in mind. Are you still there, Mr. Hobney?
I'm listening.
Just making sure. As I was saying, I made a figure of my own.
Oh! Oh, that gave me a fright.
It's all right, Mr. Sheldon. It's just the door on this old tool shed.
Wait, what was that?
What was what?
Someone just ran behind the shed.
I saw nothing.
It was out of the corner of my eye.
Such a curious expression. Out of the corner of my eye.
I'm going to take a peek behind the shed. Cover me. Just watch my back.
Sure.
Rabbi Berman, it's extremely important that we remain alert at all times.
Go on, then. Go peek behind your shed.
I'm going.
Fine.
Are you keeping a lookout?
Yeah, I'm keeping... Oh. Oh, my. Oh, my. Mr. Sheldon! The ground over there, it's swelling, shifting like it's inhaling and exhaling. Oh, my God, it might be true after all. Oh, God, help us.
Ah!
Mr. Sheldon! Mr. Sheldon! Mr. Sheldon! Oh, my God!
It's got me!
I never thought I'd see. Not in a million years. Hold on!
It's crushing my ribs! Help me go!
Where is it?
What in the hell are you doing?
It has to be somewhere. Every golem has one. Where is it? Damn it, it has to be here.
It's going to kill me.
There it is. Keep him busy, Mr. Sheldon. Just a second.
Keep him what?
Just a second. Now I just have to wipe it. Wipe it away. And... Are you all right, Mr. Sheldon?
What in the bloody hell do you think?
Let me take a look at you. Okay, nothing broken as far as I can see.
How did you do that?
You mean how did I stop this golem from crushing you to bits?
Yes, that.
Well, it was quite simple, actually. I just had to locate the mark of the Aleph on his body.
The Aleph?
The first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. In order for the golem to come to life, the Aleph must be inscribed somewhere on the body of the clay figure. It was a little hard to spot during the fracas, but fortunately for you, I found it. And I easily wiped it away, erased it with my hand. And now it lives no more.
Remarkable. Thank you for saving my skin, Rabbi.
You are very welcome. Oh, Mr. Sheldon, your nice suit. It's all dirty now. Oh, and look what I found here. It's one of your white cotton gloves. Oh. Oh, Mr. Sheldon, what's happened to your hand?
Nothing. Nothing has happened to it. Give me that glove, please.
Oh, wait, let me see. So that's why you wear those gloves? Are both hands...
Yes. Yes, they are. Please, my glove.
I'm sorry. Here, I didn't...
It's all right.
I'm sorry.
Don't be.
Well, I am.
Well, don't.
I can't help it.
Let's drop the entire subject, please.
All right, then. I say we should get out of here. It's not safe.
Now, there's an original idea. After what's just happened, I need to go somewhere to think.
You mean drink. I could use one, too.
I'm afraid they don't serve Manischewitz at the Stone's Throw.
I'll have you know, when it comes to alcohol, spirits don't have to be made by Jews to be considered kosher.
Well, feel free to join me then.
We take a moment to whet our whistle, too, hmm? It's happy hour somewhere. Speaking of whetting whistles, my assistant suggested I mention another one of these podcast shows that you may find interesting. From the makers of the Breaking Walls podcast comes A Man Named Marlowe, an audio drama miniseries set in gritty 1935 Los Angeles, a story of murder, mayhem, gold, ghosts, and gumshoes is told with lavish sound design. Well, that sounds right up your alley, I'd say.
What if everything you knew was destined to change? What if murder started to follow you everywhere you went? Would you fight to your last breath, or would your final hope be to give up the ghost, only to be saved by them? Welcome to my world. Los Angeles, 1935, the heart of the Great Depression, with glitz and glamour right next door to misery and suffering. It's the kind of world where those with money don't want to share it, and those without it have no idea how to get it. It's the kind of world where I'll take a case I'll regret, but will I live with them?
I know, Phil, I know. It's not that. Just listen to her story.
One day I got tired of drinking and poured it down the drain. It was either that or switch to laudanum. I see how you're looking at me, Mr. Marlowe. And yes, I've thought about killing that son of a bitch a million times.
That makes this a DA job. I need some answers from you, Phil. What happened to Big Bear? 48 hours and no more, I'll put an APB out for you. Friend or no friend.
A friendly word of advice, Marlowe. Stay away from William T. Phillips. The rumor is everyone that gets close to the man seems to disappear. Or die.
You need to learn to mind your business, Marlowe. Being nosy could get you dead.
Philip Marlowe is back with a 6-part audio drama miniseries called A Man Named Marlowe. Listen and subscribe everywhere you get your podcasts by searching for Breaking Walls or at thewallbreakers.com.
Interesting indeed. Well, bottoms up, friend. Let's get back to our walk about town.
These faces. These damn faces. Who the hell are these awful people? I can't. But I have to. I don't have the will, the energy. Oh my God. Oh my God, it's him. It's Simon. He knows I'm stalling somehow. I don't want to answer it. I'll just keep working.
Hey, this is the voicemail of Derek Hobney. Leave your name, number, and a brief message after the tone.
Hello, Mr. Hobney. This is Dr. Corden calling from...
Oh, hello. Yes. Yes, Dr. Corden. It's Derek Hobney. Yes, here. Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, I'll be right there, right away. Oh, my God.
Mayor Belfair.
Yes, Sheriff.
I think something is about to drop.
What do you mean? What are you talking about, Sheriff Ulster?
I'm just giving you a heads up as a courtesy.
Can you just spit it out? What is going on here?
We have a missing persons case that's about to become a murder case.
Well, what do you know so far?
One of the local farmers, Bill Nocelli?
Yes, what about him?
He went missing yesterday, but we've identified a body.
Are there any suspects?
Yes. A local resident named Derek Hobney. The remains were found at his home. We're currently looking for him as well.
How did you discover the body?
We received an anonymous tip, a phone call.
No idea who it was?
No, it was an anonymous tip.
You haven't released a statement yet, have you?
Not yet. That's why I'm talking to you right now.
Well, you do realize that the kickoff of the Strawberry Festival is tonight. We can't let that story get out just yet.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. A man's been murdered, brutally murdered.
I understand. But this festival is extremely important to our local economy, and in case you haven't noticed, it's been a particularly crappy season for the strawberries. Just put the statement on ice for me, please. Wait until tomorrow, at least.
By everyone in our community.
Yes, and out of respect for that community, we have to do what's best for everyone. Dropping a story like that right now could... how dare he hang up on me like that?
You're finally learning.
Mother? You'll speak to me now?
That's just what I would have done, Diana. Keep that story on ice. That's how it should be handled.
Mother, will you please let me in? Mother?
Scotch for you, Rabbi. Gin for me. Cheers. L'chaim.
Right. L'chaim.
What do you mean you're out of cutty sock? Romeo!
You probably drank it all, hun.
What kind of bar runs out of cutty sock? What am I gonna put in my soda now?
How about a straw?
You're an idiot, Cobra. Hey, Sheldon's got himself a lady now. Ooh la la.
That's not possible. He's too much of a daffodil to be interested in. Hey... That's not some lady he's with. That's the rabbi from my synagogue, Temple Beth Shalom. Rabbi Rachel. What the holy hell? Oy vey.
When's the last time you went to temple, big guy?
I'm trying to remember who was present at the time. I don't care. Who cares? I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Sheldon, don't tell me he's going to convert. The last thing we need around here is...
Sure, and there's a shot.
I tell you, it's Simon. Simon Perdido is the one at work here.
You keep talking about the Simon fellow. Who is he?
No one really knows for sure. All I can tell you is he is an alchemist, a purveyor of the black arts. This place, Sunken Harbor, is of great value to him. He wants to possess it somehow. You saw how the earth on the Wenzel property pulsated and breathed. There are parts of this little town, parts of the earth, the skies, the forests, the shoreline, which are aligned with something cosmic and mysterious. It brought me here, you know. And Simon has tried to harness these things for himself. He nearly succeeded once, but he was stopped, and we thought he was destroyed.
But now he's come back somehow.
Yes, as some kind of...
Golem.
We have to do something about it. I think we can, you and I.
And what about you? If I'm going to work with you, I need to know more about you. Who you are.
What do you want to know?
for one. What's the story with your hands? I've never seen anything like what I saw earlier.
I tried to get away, start over. It's really why I came here. Here in this little town, I could go back to being anonymous again.
Anonymous?
I'm known quite well in many parts of Europe. I used to be in a traveling circus, and because of my hands, my skin, the green, scaly skin that covers half of my body. I'm retired now, but there was once a time when I was known as Shelley, the snake-skinned man.
You're not serious.
But I am. I made a fortune that way, posing for the slack-jawed, thrill-seeking voyeurs looking for titillating shocks. And I gave it to them week after week, day after day, for nearly 20 years.
You sound a bit posh for a carny type, Mr. Sheldon.
Yes. You can still hear the public schoolboy in my voice, eh? There's a good reason for that. I was born into great wealth, or so I thought. My father was a rather ingenious man. He discovered a uniquely brilliant way in which he could squander a prodigious family fortune in just a few decades. When I turned 17, he left this world, but to our great misfortune, his debts did not, and fell upon my narrow shoulders to support my mother and sister. And allowing the public to view my horrible body was the means by which I managed to keep a roof above our heads. I could also perform gags and magic tricks and tell fortunes, but never, ever would I give them any of the real stuff.
The real stuff?
Well, I don't believe that psychic ability can run through one like water from a faucet, but I do possess some. Certain things come to me in dreams, but I can never tell when. Before, years would sometimes pass without my having one of these dreams, but here in Sunken Harbor, I have them all the time.
Did you have a dream about what happened earlier?
No, I did not.
When did you come here? To Sunken Harbor?
I retired from the carnivals about 5 years ago. I had made enough money, invested it, and made some more. But Mother passed, and then, very unexpectedly, my sister, Belinda. I became the legal guardian of her daughter, my niece, Sissy. She lives here with me and will soon be going to college.
Why did you come here?
Most people don't know or remember, but once upon a time, there was a small colony of circus performers who came to retire in this town. I was referred to this place by an old fire-eating fakir friend of mine. Most of those folks have died by now, but this place feels like home to me. I had to search the whole world over before I found the kind of place I was looking for, you see. Here I am, contentedly happy, feeling sad. I'm able to maintain a steady diet of gin and cigars while performing the role of the eccentric Englishman, puttering around in his garden, reading his Proust one page at a time while not caring in the slightest about reaching the end of the book. No one asks because no one cares, and I couldn't be more grateful. Well, no one has asked, until you did just now.
And wasn't that liberating to get all that off of your chest, Mr. Sheldon?
Well, I do wish you could see me as you saw me before.
That guy was a pretentious crackpot. This person is far more interesting.
Well, to be clear, Rabbi Berman, all that I have just revealed is only for you to know. Please.
People confide in me all the time, and that bond, that trust is sacred.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Hey, Rabbi Rachel, I don't mean to interrupt.
Robbie Kleinman, how are you? How's the karate school?
We call it a dojo, Rabbi.
I always meant to ask you, are you trained at all in Krav Maga?
Well, no.
Well, it happens that I am. I had to learn it when I spent some time on the kibbutz.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I've brought up those experiences in many of my sermons. You'd have to have been there, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I know. I gotta be better about that. You know, in fact, it's kind of why I'm stopping by.
Yes?
Is Beth Shalom hosting any of those flea markets anytime soon?
We're going to have one next month, in fact.
Oh, awesome. I need to get a table, or maybe two for that.
You have some stuff to unload, eh?
Do I? I have all kinds of stuff. Vintage. Highly collectible. I got baseball cards, Lee Majors commemorative plates. I even got an Aerosmith album signed by all four members of Zebra.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, looking to make a little extra cash. You know, how about you know, valets. You're always looking for valets for the bar mitzvahs and such, you know. And I could park some cars, you know. The tips are pretty good there, right?
Excuse me, Cobra?
Yeah, Sheriff, what's up?
You were here earlier, when Derek Hobney was here.
Oh, you mean the older guy drinking with Annie?
Yes, him. Have you seen him?
No, not since then.
You sure now?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, thanks.
Derek Hobney. Derek Hobney the sculptor.
You've seen him, Sheldon?
No, I have not. Is this in reference to the sculpture that was stolen from his studio?
No, this has to do with something else.
What is this something else?
Just let me know right away if you see him.
All right, then. I guess I'll make my exit now.
What's that you've got there, Cobra?
Oh, a couple of Loaded for Life scratch-off games. Wish me luck. either you got a quarter I could borrow.
Here, keep it.
Hey, thanks, man. If I win, I'll give you a cut. On your lip. I'm just joking. All right, later.
Derek Hobney. Derek Hobney.
Do you know him?
Oh, casually. He's a nice fellow. He was a brilliant sculptor who made a name for himself in the wax museum world.
A sculptor?
What are you thinking?
A missing statue? A missing sculptor?
What? What's going on inside that head of yours? You don't think
I think we need to find Simon Perdido.
Simon? Simon Perdido? He was creeping around here earlier.
He was? When?
Same time me and Hobney were having a drink over there. Hobney said that Simon hired him to sculpt a few things for him, and that he was starting to become a real pain in the...
Hobney.
Simon.
Have you seen that Simon guy lately? Looks like a ventriloquist dummy come to life or something.
What I have here. I made a little basket just for you, filled with freshly picked Sunken Harbor strawberries. Why, yes, it's all yours. A gift from me to you. Are they locally grown? Why, of course they are. I mean, they should be. Well, I'm pretty sure. mostly certain. Almost positive. You'll just have to trust me on that one. What's that? I don't know why you keep insisting that you're hearing strange voices around town. As I told you, there's an easy explanation. You see, you only heard James Reeser as Mr. J. Sheldon, Mr. Alan LaForest as Simon Perdido, Casey LaForest as Rabbi Rachel Berman, Mary Murphy as Lynn Belfair and Annie, Michael Pate as Cobra Kleinman, Eric Davy Gislason as Sheriff Ulster, and David Linton as Derek Hobney. Oh, and I suppose I'm mostly impressed with Ali Silva's keen impersonation of me, Mayor Diana Belfair. Oh, and that lovely musical number was the darling Martina De Silva performing in the Sunken Harbor Park Bandstand, accompanied by Nico Slater. The song was Have Thine Own Way, Lord, written by Adelaide A. Pollard and George C. Stebbins. Sunken Harbor, the Strawberry Festival, Sheldon's Glove, was written and researched by Sylvan Sandovar. The production was directed by Holly Payne Strange. Sunken Harbor, the Strawberry Festival was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Ali Silva, and Daniel and Rebecca Graves for Fireside Mystery Productions. Jason Graves composed the theme music. The musical score was improvised by Nico Slater. The sound effects designer and engineer is Greg Russ. The technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. And the production coordinator is Brontis Shane Orengo. I have to say, this is a pretty darn good show, so listen to your friend, Mayor Belfair, and cast Fireside Mystery Theater that vote of confidence by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a rating and review for the show there. Hey, I'm almost a Luddite, and even I managed to do it. So can you. Every rating and review you leave for this show allows this fine group of youngsters to keep casting their pods on the worldwide whatever it is they call it these days. So just do it, okay? Oh, and what's this? Oh, thank you. My assistant just handed this memo to me. I see. It says here that by going to firesidemysterytheater.com/merch, listeners can purchase all sorts of cool swag with the Fireside Mystery Theater logo emblazoned upon it. You can get t-shirts, mugs, smartphone cases. If only they sold tote bags. Wait, they do sell tote bags. I'm going to order one of those for myself then. Wow, well, there are just too many different products listed here to choose from. Just go to firesidemysterytheater.com/merch. I hear there may be some sales coming up, so stay tuned. Can you believe it? The time is going by so quickly. We've got one more part of our Sunken Harbor Strawberry Festival series. It's called The Scrambler. Well, I guess you'll just have to come back soon to see us, as I'm sure you won't want to miss it. This is your own devoted public servant, friend, and woman of the people, Mayor Diana Belfair, reminding you to shadow your mind. Your mind is in the shadows. Mind the shadows. Darn it, I keep messing that up.